Hola mis amigos, this is El Huri, and you're listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we have all sorts of songs and sounds and stories for you. It's Friday, so there's new music on the way. We'll also speak live with Shelley Hagen, president and CEO of the Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood Group, about the arguments this week in front of the Supreme Court that may have overturned Roe versus Wade. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all begins after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
Waves controlled on air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network.
Holidays get started December 3rd and December 4th on WGXC with two special broadcasts. First, on Friday, December 3rd, it's the annual Little Magician Annual Holiday Show, live from the WGXC Hudson Studio. Join the Little Magician and his Christmas sisters as they present their 8th annual Holiday Hootenanny on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. And then at 6 p.m., Saturday, December 4th, tune in another holiday tradition. Turn out or tune in another holiday tradition. That's Phil Klein's Unsilent Night, live from Art O' My again this year. Unsilent Night is an original composition by Phil Klein, written specifically to be heard outdoors in the month of December, where the audience becomes a performer. You're asked to bring a cell phone or a boombox with a tape deck to join in the fun. Go to WGXC.org for more information about Phil Klein's Unsilent Night, and you can turn out at 6 p.m. at Art O' My in Ghent, or tune in on WGXC 90.7 FM at 6 p.m. Saturday, December 4th for Unsilent Night on the radio at WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions. your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Tunstall Studio Publishing of Craryville, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. COVID-19 bad news came in a torrent on December 2nd. The Omicron variant arrived in New York with at least 5 cases announced. In Massachusetts, COVID-19 case totals increased 154% since November 2nd, and hospitalizations have nearly doubled. The case counts in Massachusetts are now almost exactly the same as a year ago, before any vaccines were available. Back in New York, Albany County announced 3 more deaths and 202 more cases on December 2nd. Ulster County announced 2 more coronavirus deaths December 2nd, for a total of 6 deaths this week. Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan addressed residents about just how bad things are now on Facebook December 2nd.
We are significantly more concerned this week than we were even a week ago before Thanksgiving about what's happening with COVID-19 in Ulster County. And unfortunately and tragically, we've had one of the deadliest weeks of the pandemic just over the last week and really through the Thanksgiving period, where we've had 7 additional fatalities in the week. And of course, especially as we begin the holiday period in the midst of Hanukkah and on the tail end of Thanksgiving, it's a particularly tragic time to lose more Ulster County residents to this pandemic.
Rensselaer County confirmed 182 new COVID-19 cases on December 2nd. Columbia County reported 40 more cases on December 2nd. And Greene County added 37 more cases December 2nd and 59 more on December 1st. On December 2nd, the state reported that Northern Dutchess Hospital is facing bed capacity issues, and if they do not add open beds by December 3rd, New York officials will require the hospital to postpone elective surgeries and other procedures. And the Valencia Community Theater postponed performances of It's a Wonderful Life after a cast member tested positive for COVID-19. The theater said they will attempt a production after Christmas.
Shanice Holmes Brown in the Times Union reports that COVID-19 news in Albany County in December has been especially bad. On December 1st, 211 new cases were announced, with 202 more on December 2nd, and 3 more people have died after contracting the virus, bringing the county's death toll to 449 since March 2020. The deaths were a woman in her 50s, a man in his 80s, and another woman in her 80s, but the county did not say if they were vaccinated. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said, and I quote, "Every death is a tragedy that leaves loved ones devastated, and we need to do more to protect our community," end quote. So far, the cases here are mostly of the Delta variant. McCoy said, and I quote, "With news that the first Omicron variant has been identified in California, it's even more important now that everyone get vaccinated if they hadn't already and get the booster dose if they have," end quote. Meanwhile, Columbia County reported 2 more deaths on December 1st, the first there among the vaccinated. Columbia County Department of Health Director Jack Mabb said, and I quote, "Both of them were seniors, both of them vaccinated, but both of them had a lot of comorbidities," end quote. Columbia County reported 5 deaths in September, 2 in October, 2 in November, and now 2 in December. Mabb said many of the new cases in Columbia County this week can be traced to Thanksgiving gatherings. One man said he felt sick last Wednesday, Mabb said, and thought he should be tested.
decided not to because he did not want to ruin his Thanksgiving, and then tested positive the day after. Mab said, and I quote, "So he definitely went there, exposed everybody to the virus. It's irresponsible, but I understand at some levels, yes, it infuriates me because it's irresponsible, but people are desperate to get together. They are desperate to have some sense of normal, and we just can't. This is not normal times. If you have symptoms, you shouldn't be going to these things," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Roger Hannigan-Gilson is reporting for the Times Union that Hughes Energy Group has proposed the construction of a biofuel production facility in Prattsville, hoping to build a new kind of waste processing facility. But the company must now create an elaborate plan to study and minimize its potential environmental impacts, according to a decision by the State Department of Environmental Conservation on December 1st. Hughes wants to construct a 115,000-square-foot plant it says will help New York reach its climate goals by annually converting 176,000 tons of sorted garbage into a fibrous material that could replace paper products and coal. The process would cut down on methane, a greenhouse gas produced by rotting organic material, by diverting trash from landfills and turning it into reusable products, the company says. However, environmental groups and residents have pushed back on the plan with increasing intensity, arguing there are too many unknowns with the new technology and worrying about the plant's impact on the Catskill Mountains and the New York City reservoir system. The plant would be located less than 2,000 feet from the Schoharie Creek, which feeds into the Ashican Reservoir, which provides water to most of New York City and about 1 million people in the Hudson Valley. The DEC is now requiring Hughes Energy to study and plan how to minimize possible adverse environmental impacts, including on water resources, noise, odor, traffic, and public infrastructure. Hughes Energy CEO Dane McSpadden said he had, quote, no issue, unquote, with the DEC plan. The regional environmental group Riverkeeper applauded the DEC's decision to have Hughes address the five potential impacts. The waste received by the plant would initially come from transfer stations. It would be trucked to the plant, where other hazardous materials would be removed by being loaded into giant autoclaves. This waste, which would still be 16% plastic, would be heated in the autoclaves to 250 degrees and pressurized, causing plastics to shrink and coagulate together. The autoclaves turn the organic material into a fibrous mush. Metal cloth and the plastics would be recycled elsewhere. The mush would then be dried and used to replace paper, coal, or wood pellets. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Nick Reisman reports for State of Politics that Governor Kathy Hochul introduced New York's Health Commissioner Dr. Mary Bassett on December 2nd. At a news conference in New York City, Bassett said, and I quote, "I've learned the importance of telling the truth," end quote. She added, and I quote, "I'll tell the governor what we know and what we don't know and what our best judgment is, and I'll tell the public the same thing," end quote. Bassett, a former New York City health commissioner, replaces Dr. Howard Zucker, who was tainted by investigations into Governor Andrew Cuomo's handling of the pandemic reporting in nursing home facilities. The new health commissioner takes over as COVID-19 cases are climbing again and hospital beds are filling up across the state. So far, Hochul is not taking any radical action to stop the spread. Hochul said, and I quote, "I'm not prepared to shut down schools or the economy. No," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
Melanie Lukosovic is reporting for Capital Region Independent Media that some residents who owe back payments for their water and sewer bills could be eligible for federal funds intended to help customers avoid service interruptions. Governor Kathy Hochul, November 29th, announced the $69.8 million in federal funding is now available to help low-income New Yorkers pay drinking water and wastewater bills that are in arrears. The program is administered by the state's Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance. The program is called the Low-Income Household Water Assistance Program. The funds will provide income-qualified individuals and families with up to $2,500 for drinking water bills in arrears and $2,500 for wastewater bills in arrears, Hochul said. The state's moratorium on service shutoffs imposed during the COVID-19 pandemic will expire in late December, and regulated utilities have agreed to hold off on service disconnections through the New Year's holiday. But service shutoffs may resume after that. Eligibility for the program is determined by household income and size and the amount that is past due. Information is available at the Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance website. Read more about the story in the Ravenna News Herald.
Ted Rimsnyder reports for Columbia Green Media that Cairo's Robert Hempstead died November 30th from heart disease. He had worked in the Greene County Highway Department for 37 years and was highway superintendent in Cairo, elected in 2011 and 2015. Former town supervisor Dan Benoit said, and I quote, "He probably would have won re-election again if he ran for a third time, but I think his wife would have divorced him," end quote. He added, and I quote, "He was uniquely dedicated to his job. He was always proud of the fact that he was asked to teach at Cornell. He died too soon," end quote. County legislator William Lawrence agreed. He said, and I quote, "I knew the man and he loved highway work. He was even hired by Cornell Cooperative Extension to teach other superintendents how to do road work. He did that for 3 or 4 years and went all over New York State giving his expertise to newly elected superintendents," end quote. Hempstead, also known for his large mustache, is survived by his wife, Kathy, and 3 children, Gwen, Joni, and Robert. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Felix Carroll is reporting for the Berkshire Eagle that Yolanda Dubois Irvin, the only grandchild of African-American writer, teacher, sociologist, and civil rights activist W.E.B. Dubois, has died at the age of 89. She passed away on November 29th in Fort Collins, Colorado. Irvin will be buried in Great Barrington alongside her mother and other family members. Her grandfather was born in Great Barrington in 1868. Irvin was an educator, and she followed in the footsteps of her grandfather by promoting civil rights, empathy, and community. Quote, "My mom was a free spirit," unquote, said Jeffrey Peck of Houston, the youngest of Irvin's 4 biological children. Quote, "She liked to laugh and have fun. She loved people genuinely, and people tended to gravitate to her to come talk to her," unquote. Peck said the family is planning a celebration in Great Barrington of his mother's life and legacy around the same time as W.E.B. Dubois' birthday on February 23rd. Irvin was born October 11, 1932, the only child of Arnett Williams and Nina Yolanda Dubois. Irvin attended a boarding school in Harlem and then attended Northfield Seminary for Young Ladies in Gill, Franklin County. After graduating from high school in Baltimore, Irvin traveled with her grandfather to attend the International Youth Conference in Germany. She later would say the trip was a highlight of her life. She went on to earn a doctorate in psychology at the University of Colorado Boulder. Irvin is survived by her 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and 4 great-grandchildren. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 38 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 24. And on Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 40 degrees with intermittent rain and snow showers. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 23. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
You have tuned in to all sorts of creative community voices on the radio Friday, December 3rd on 90.7, including at 10 a.m. it's time for the Global Agogo Show, this week featuring tracks from Sarah Arastadi, Atran de Liar, Modu Maktour, among others. Jared Wiggishud is live with the Sugar Shack Jukebox at noon from Hudson after the local news. Then we hear from Gelatin Lopez, the featured artist today on the Data Cult Audio Show at 2 p.m. We have new music from Burial, Riley Walker, and William Parker at 3 p.m. on the New Music Review. At 4 p.m., we've got the live conduction series back on the air with experimenters from Boulder, Colorado, Santa Cruz, California, and SUNY Buffalo all collaborating on the air live. At 6 p.m., it's time for Clubhouse Radio, live from Main Street in Catskill. And 7 p.m., we hear from the teens about what they've been reading in Hudson on the Bound by Books show on the radio. And then at 8 p.m., we have a live holiday show from Hudson. It's time for the annual Little Magician Holiday Show. This is the 8th annual Hootenanny broadcast live from the WGXC Hudson studio at 8 p.m. on the radio at 90.7 FM. All together now, all together now, all together now, all together now, all together
now, all together now, all together now. To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
WGXC and Art Oh My welcome Phil Klein's Unsilent Night back to Ghent this year. WGXC will broadcast Phil Klein's Unsilent Night from Art Oh My in Ghent. The event is from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, December 4th. You can participate at Art Oh My. You're encouraged to bring a mobile phone, especially one with external speakers, or a boombox with a functioning tape deck. If you can't be there in person, you can tune in on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. That's Unsilent Night from Phil Klein at Art Oh My and on the radio at WGXC Saturday, December 4th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. WGXC and Art Oh My welcome Phil Klein's Unsilent Night back to Ghent this year. WGXC will broadcast Phil Klein's Unsilent Night from Art Oh My in Ghent. The event is from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, December 4th. You can participate at Art Oh My. You're encouraged to bring a mobile phone, especially one with external speakers, or a boombox with a functioning tape deck. If you can't be there in person, you can tune in on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. That's Unsilent Night from Phil Klein at Art Oh My and on the radio at WGXC Saturday, December 4th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, December 3rd. Early on, we see 27 degrees in Mackey and 34 degrees in Hallahan Hill. Not much of a warm-up is in store today. A high of 39 is expected at 2 p.m. A gusty morning could leave scattered branches around, so keep an eye out if you're driving. Winds will calm down just before dark. Cloud cover will also drop, so it should be a relatively nice afternoon. Overnight, temperatures fall to 22 degrees. Saturday will be dry with a high of 43 at 2 p.m. Just a little windy with moderate cloud cover. Saturday night, temperatures fall to 24 degrees, then bounce back up to 43 by 2 p.m. on Sunday, which will be dry, unlike Monday, which is looking cool and pretty wet with temperatures in the 50s. The hottest temperature expected next week is 57 degrees. The coldest temperature expected is 22. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:16 a.m., low tide at 7:55 a.m., high tide again at 1:44 p.m., and low tide again at 8:40 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 38 degrees. Sunset today will be at 4:11 p.m., sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:03 a.m. Looking way up, we see solar wind flowing from an equatorial coronal hole is due to arrive on Saturday. Solar wind speed is currently 452 kilometers per second at 10 protons per milliliter. Radio daytime propagation conditions are currently fair up to 15 megahertz, and nighttime conditions are fair across the board. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 45. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXE is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Stuart Summer of Hillsdale, New York. WGXE's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXE as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXE sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXE.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
And then there's good news. Rainbow. Good evening.
From 1997, this is Isotope 217 with the song Legetti from the Unstable Molecule album. Right now it's 35 degrees, if that's your sort of flavor, Fahrenheit. 2 degrees on the Celsius scale, and probably getting colder. Just a few minutes, we'll speak with Shelley Hagan, president and CEO of Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood, about the goings-on in the Supreme Court this week. Windy out there. That was the Chicago Underground Quartet with the song Unique Spiral from their 2020 album Good Days.
Thank you. Welcome to 2021 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Madam Speaker, pursuant to House Resolution 829, I call up the bill H.R. 6119 and ask for its immediate consideration in the House.
Connecticut Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro called the question as the House voted to fund the government through February 18th to avert a Friday government shutdown. Only one Republican, Illinois Representative Adam Kinzinger, supported the bill, which now heads to the Senate. The Omicron variant has been detected in a vaccinated Minnesota resident, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
The person's symptoms have resolved. The person spoke with the Minnesota Public Health Department investigators and reported traveling to New York City and attending the Anime New York City 2021 convention at the Javits Center.
The Minnesota case comes one day after the CDC confirmed the United States' first known case of the variant. Vice President Kamala Harris's chief spokesperson and senior advisor, Simone Sanders, has announced her departure from the administration, the second exit among Harris's communications staff in recent weeks. In North Carolina Thursday, Harris praised the state's Democratic lawmakers for their help passing the infrastructure law.
Because of their work, because of our work together, America is moving again. Because ultimately, that's what infrastructure is all about. Getting people moving.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi spoke about the importance of federal abortion care protections a day after all six conservative Supreme Court justices indicated they would uphold Mississippi's current law, banning abortion after 15 weeks.
Codification of Roe is the strongest weapon that we have to blunt these restrictive anti-woman state laws. Now, we don't know what the decision will be from the court.
The court is expected to issue a decision in June. The Department of Homeland Security says it's preparing to revive the Migrant Protection Protocols policy, more commonly known as the Remain in Mexico policy, which requires many migrants seeking asylum to stay in Mexico while awaiting immigration hearings. The Biden administration has tried multiple times to strike down the policy, but in August, a federal judge in Texas ordered the program restored. Finally, President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden lit the national Christmas tree in the South Lawn of the White House Thursday evening, continuing a tradition begun in 1923.
For the evergreen tree reminds us that even in the coldest, darkest days of winter, that life and abundance will return. It's a bright beacon of hope that reminds us of the promise we find in Scripture.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
This is Andy Stuhl with the Wavefarm Radio Art Archive. The following is an excerpt from Free Radio Linux by Radio Qualia. In the original 2002 transmission, commissioned by the Walker Arts Center, a computer voice read aloud the entire source code for the Linux kernel into an online stream and an ad hoc FM station. This took just shy of 594 days. In this much shorter snippet, you'll hear strings of characters meant for interpretation by the programming language compiler, as well as a few annotations that the software developers left. The artists in Radio Qualia, Adam Hyde and Honor Harger, described Free Radio Linux as an audio distribution of their Linux kernel, suggesting that this popular open source operating system could spread to new users over the airwaves.
Sign zero, closing parenthesis, opening curly brackets, dir equals sign zero. X 0400000 semicolon slash asterisk SGL out opening parenthesis post greater than sign EO closing parenthesis slash stadier equals sign MPI spacing underscore SCSIIO spacing underscore control spacing underscore right semicolon slash asterisk data out opening parenthesis post greater than sign yoke greater than sign dev closing parenthesis slash closing curly bracket else opening curly bracket len equals sign zero semicolon closing curly bracket tag equals sign MPI spacing underscore SCSIIO spacing underscore control spacing underscore SIMPLEQ to the devices slash if opening parenthesis SCPNT hyphen minus greater than sign device hyphen minus greater than sign tag spacing underscore supported closing parenthesis opening curly bracket slash asterisk some drives.
are too stupid to handle fairness issues with tag pooling, period. We throw in the odd murder tag to stop them starving themselves, period. Slash if opening parenthesis jiffies hyphen minus HDA hyphen minus greater than sign tag spacing underscore tick closing parenthesis greater than sign opening parenthesis 5 asterisk hertz closing parenthesis opening curly bracket tag equals sign MPI spacing. Underscore SCSIO spacing underscore control spacing underscore ORDERIDQ semicolon HDA hyphen minus greater than sign tag spacing underscore tick equals sign jiffy semicolon number at 0 slash asterisk these are always 0 exclamation mark opening parenthesis. Because this is a place for the device driver to dynamically assign tag numbers any way it sees fit, period.
You just heard a small excerpt from Free Radio Linux, an audio distribution of the Linux operating system, orchestrated in 2002 by Radio Qualia. You can learn more about this artwork in Wavefarm's Radio Art Archive at wavefarm.org. Thank you.
That was the legendary Horace Tapscott with the song To the Great House. Next, we hear from Art Tatum and his song Soft Wind.